you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, we're going to look at something this morning that sometimes we deal with and sometimes we don't like to admit it. Sometimes we don't like to admit to ourselves that we're jealous of other people. But let me tell you, it is real. It's something that happens. We see here that Saul became jealous of David. And you say, well, why would Saul become jealous of David? I'm glad you asked that. When they returned from the battle against Goliath, and David went down with his five stones and his sling and defeated Goliath there when he threw the rock and hit him in the head and killed him and took his sword and cut his head off. After that battle, when they were returning to town, the folks in the town, the lady folks, they were going around and singing and praising and their warriors that were coming back, and they were welcoming them back home, and they were singing a song, and they said, Saul has killed his thousand, but David has killed 10,000. Now, it didn't sit right with Saul because he was the king. He got jealous because they were singing honor and praise unto David, the little shepherd boy who had came down there and had the faith in God to believe that they were able to defeat such an army that God had delivered them in their hand, because they were the uncircumcised Philistines. They were those that were not God's people, that God had given them power over them and would give them victory in battle. But we were carrying, or the children of Israel were cowering back, and they wouldn't go out to fight. But David found faith in God and strength in God to go out to face the giant. He didn't think he was too big to hit. He thought he was too big to miss. So he loaded it up and he went out and was victorious. But through that, Saul became jealous of David because they were honoring him as he returned from the battle. Now let me tell you, sometimes it happens when we see someone get a little honor for the things that they've done, that we get jealous over their position. We get jealous over the honor maybe they are receiving. We don't intend to, but down inside of us, we are still carnal human beings. And sometimes when we see it happen, we get jealous because we know we could have done the same thing if we'd have done what God had asked us to do. And sometimes we get jealous and upset because we see somebody being obedient to God and are prospering God, and the things that they're touching is doing what God would have us to do and doing what God wants done. And we get jealous of that situation. But let me tell you, we don't need to be jealous. What we need to do is just be committed to God. We need to be the sanctuary to allow God to live in us and not shirk our duty. Don't put it aside and say, there's somebody else that can do it. There's somebody else. This morning we had light bulbs out. I'm going to tell you, I'm not above having to put in a light bulb. I could have left it to somebody else and say, oh, I can't do that. I got my suit on. I didn't have to climb a ladder, though, this morning, because I had two boys that decided to take it over, and they probably ain't been called boys in a long time. But anyway, they decided they were going to take care of it, so I didn't have to, and we worked together, though, on these things. We shouldn't hold ourselves higher than anybody else in the church, in the house of God, because we are all God's children. I heard a man say this past week, I believe it was this week, I was listening to the TV and flipping through there. He said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. God only has children. And that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense when we think about it. We're all God's children. And we should act as so. But we see now in the 24th chapter of Samuel, we see that Samuel, he got upset with David because they were giving him honor. There was times when David was in his presence there in the king's chamber, that the king was there and he got the eyeball on him. He thought, I'm going to get rid of this boy right now. They've esteemed him, hired me, give him 10,000 victories there to my 1,000. I'm going to get rid of him. Had his javelin there in his hand. David was there and he hauled off and chirked that javelin right at David. But David saw what was happening, and David was able to move out of the way. God spared his life. Now, all this time, David is looking at Saul as God's appointed man to be the king over Israel at this time, because that's who God first anointed to be king, first appointed to be king over them. If you remember, the children of Israel, they wanted to be like everybody else. They were through with the judges. They were through with the other leaders. They wanted a king to be like everybody else, and they ended up with Saul. And we see that as they went through the period of time here, that God's hand was upon David, that David was going to be the next ruler there, that David was going to ascend to the throne to take over when Saul's reign was over. And it was all this making preparation for David to ascend to the throne. And we see these things taking place here, and we see that the jealousy that became between him and David. Now see, Jonathan, which was King Saul's son, and David, they were like peas and carrots. I mean, you didn't separate them. They were together, everywhere they went, and they had a strong bond. And Jonathan was looking out for David. He told him, he said, "Now listen, David, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "You go out yonder, and we're going to go down and shoot. And what we're going, I'll shoot 3 arrows. And I'm going to send the boy down to fetch him. And if it's safe for you to come back, I'm going to say, the arrow's back this way from you," when he sent his servant out to pick up the arrows. He said, "It's back this way." He said, "Now if I say it's on past you, what you're supposed to do is leave, to leave the kingdom so he could still be in safety, because Saul was still seeking to kill him." So we went out and they done that, and they shot the arrows, and Jonathan said, it's on past thee. And David knew that it was time to leave. It's all in 1 Samuel. You go back and read it. And he knew it was time to leave. So after the king had left, and Jonathan and David got together and bid each other goodbye and left there, and then we see that David went out into the roundabout, into the countryside here, roundabout away from Saul to take his leave. But they were men that were committed to David. They saw David as being a great leader, and they were committed to staying with David, and they had their allegiance with David. They wasn't against Saul, because David was a man that was believed that the anointed one of God shouldn't be touched. And we're going to see that here in just a few moments of time. So he didn't seek out to have Saul hurt, but Saul's men that were around him, they kept driving that wedge a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper. Because of jealousy. So Saul still sought out to kill David. Still sought out to kill him. But David, he went on his way. And we see now here, we're going to find that Saul, after he's went out to fight, with the Philistines, that he's come back, and he's coming back into his area there, and he's coming back to where he can get his mind on David once again. Now in chapter 24 it begins, it says, "It came to pass," "when Saul returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats." Now David didn't take the easy way out. He went to a place where he would be able to get an advantage up in the mountainous area here where the wild goats roamed. You don't see wild goats much down in the lower areas and the lower land. You see them up on the mountainside. You see them up in the rock cliffs. And you see them up there where they've got an advantage that they can see danger coming for miles away. And David was a smart man, and he got up there where he could have an advantage to be able to see. And we see now that Saul, though, is still seeking him out to find where he's at. "And it came to pass that the sheep, goats by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." Now, here we see a perfect opportunity for an ambush. David and his men were already in the cave. They'd been living there and dwelling there, and they knew that cave. They knew the passages. They knew how to get in, get out undetected, and have their being and their home at that place, their encampment there, where they were protected because they were inside the stone. They were inside the cave. Saul and his men come along. Saul decided he needed a nap. So they go in. He covers his feet there to take him a little rest. And David and all of his men here standing around looking down there and seeing All what's going on. Now, jealousy drove Saul to seek after David. Revenge could have drove David that he went down and killed Saul at this point and had him out of the way. But David didn't see it that way. He saw still Saul as being God's appointed and God's anointed man to lead Israel at this point in time, that it wasn't time for him to be delivered in his hand to take his life. But we see now that David saw this, but David's men didn't. It says, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do unto him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately." He went down. The same thing that he could have done and just took his sword and just stuck it through Saul and took his life. Could have lopped off his head like he did Goliath. But David didn't see it that way. He said the Lord had given him into his hand that he could do as it seemed good unto David. What seemed good unto David was to send a message. I could destroy you, Saul, but I think too much of you. I respect your position that you're in because God placed you there. So he cut the skirt off of his garment, off of his robe. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was sleeping, and some of you probably may have done it at some point in time, some of you kids when you was in school, or maybe I'm giving you something to do, I hope not. You catch somebody that's asleep and you shave off one eyebrow. That's happened. Or put the shaving cream in the hand and tickle their nose. And you ain't never seen that happen. It happens. But you do tricks to people sometimes when they're sleeping. And this is what David done to Saul to get his attention. He cut the skirt off the robe to say how close he was. In verse 6, and it says, and he said unto the men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing. Wait a minute, let me go back and get verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. That conviction that he'd even just even touched the skirt of the anointed man of God that was king. That he had done just this caused his heart to beat inside of him. It saddened him of what he had done. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing that he is anointed of the Lord. David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. He told these guys, said, look, we're not going to harm Saul. It's not right. We're going to allow him to go on his way. These men that were there now, they were warriors. When you had the enemy that close, you didn't let them walk away. The only enemy there was jealousy. That Saul become jealous of David. That was the biggest enemy, Satan, trying to get in to cause problems in what God had ordered. But David was a very smart man and he had respect for Saul and he allowed him to go away. Now he didn't go away without giving him a message though. And David also arose afterward and went out to the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Though this man had tried to kill him, though this man was desiring David's life, he still had respect to him as the king, as the ruler. And he bowed himself there in service to his king and allowed him to go his way. Now we see the message that David gives to Saul. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Now sometimes when we get in that mode that we become jealous or that we become envious of someone, we have those that's around us sometimes and they feed onto our ego. Well, you really ought not stand for that. You need to do this. You need to do that. Who's he think he is? Who they think they are? Who's that preacher think he is to tell us that's wrong? But what we needed to remember is the messages from God and be in humble service to him and bow to him, not the messenger, but to the one that sends the message. And he's saying, Saul, why are you listening to these other men? I don't desire to see you hurt, but men are telling you these things. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into my hands in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in mine hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know that thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. He He's saying, Saul, what's the problem? I could have had my chance. I had it. I was right beside of you. I cut the skirt off your robe. I could have taken your life. But I don't seek to hurt you. Why do you seek to hurt me? Why do you seek to hurt me? The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but thine hand shall not be upon thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but thine hand shall not be upon thee. He's telling him he don't seek to hurt to do wickedness to him because he still respects him. And whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He realized what was taking place. Now I wished I could say that this ended the strife between David and Saul, but it didn't. It didn't. It only appeased it for a little while. But we see that he wept because he realized what could have taken place. He realized that David was there. He realized the respect that he still gave him. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Let me tell you, sometimes people reward you with evil things. But if you really want to get under their skin, you just keep on being good to them. You keep on being what Christ would have you be. And when you do that, you're going to get under their skin worse than anything, and it might just get down to their heart and touch it, and they might receive Christ because of it. If you live a life that's pleasing unto Christ, that you might touch someone's life. Because listen, our spirits are not going to get along with those that are lost. It's not going to be able to stay in the same presence together. Good and evil are not going to walk in the same presence together and get along. It's not going to be able to happen. You're going to be miserable, and they're going to be miserable, and there's going to be conflict because of the Spirit. But you just keep on holding on to God, and you walk with Him, and you cry up out loud, and don't take opportunity to destroy someone. Take an opportunity to lift them up before God, that He can change their life, that He can touch their heart, that they can see the error of their ways and the things that's taking place. But be sure that your errors are not greater errors than what they have. Look into the mirror of God's Word and make sure that there's not a beam sticking out of your eye when there's a mote in your brother's eye. But with the things today that we have happened in America, people are jealous of others and what they have and what they've been able to accumulate over the work that they've been able to do. Let me tell you, if you work hard, you ought to be able to obtain those things. If you're lazy and don't want to do nothing, you shouldn't be able to have those things. That's just plain and simple. That's just right from the Bible. God said those that would work and provide that they were going to have, and those that didn't, they wasn't going to. Let me tell you, we need to work for God that we can be blessed of God and be able to reap the blessings that He has in store for us. Today, He said, Thou art more righteous than I, for Thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And Thou hast showed this day how that Thou hast dealt with well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. He realized how close it was to him leaving his throne and leaving this world. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. He knew and he realized. Now David didn't just let him get out of the mouth of the cave and start this conversation. He let him get out a ways distance there that he could talk to him and cry out to him that he could hear. But he put space between them because he didn't know how Saul was going to react. He didn't know how Saul was going to react. And sometimes we do the same thing. We'll put distance between people because of jealousy that may creep in. I don't know why God wanted this message preached this morning, but for some reason He did. And maybe there's jealousy on the horizon. Maybe you're going through a jealous spell now, envious of what somebody else might be doing. Listen, don't be that way. Come together, work together for God, that God's blessings be poured out upon this church and upon this community and across this world and nation that is desperately in need of love from God. But if we allow jealousy to come in, then it blinds our eyes to being able to see the full vision that God has in store for us. And now behold, I know well, in verse 20, that thou shalt surely be king, and that thy kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. This was more proof to Saul that David was going to be a king that would be worthy to be king of Israel, that he had uprightness in his heart. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up unto the hold. King Saul returned back to his palace. He returned back to the comforts of home. David and his men stayed there where they were at, in the stronghold that they had found, in the cave there where it had been placed, and their protection was there. Next chapter, we see that David goes down and tries to make allegiance with another man because they were needing food and things, and he did not want them in his land, did not want to prosper them, did not want to give them the things that they were in need of as far as having food and cattle and things like that. But we see that the lady named Abigail, she had the sense to see that David was a just man, that he was a great leader, and she took it by night there and brought him the things that he was in need of to keep him from destroying the people. And long story short, they end up going to battle. David ends up saving Abigail there and the ones that were there with her alive, and he ends up marrying her at the end of the chapter. Then we go on into chapter 26, and we see that once again Saul decides to seek after David once again. And Saul comes to him and is there, and David goes in with another gentleman there and goes right into the camp, because Saul was laid down in a ditch with all the men surrounding him. He done been through that one time of David sneaking in and cutting the skirt off his robe. So he put all of his men around about him in camp there at night, and he was laying there in the ditch with his javelin there in the ground beside of him, in a cruse of water that was there. And David and this other gentleman went in and took that from him, and the other gentleman said, "Hey, I'm right here." He said, "You don't have to kill him. Just give me the word and I'll kill him. You don't have to have the guilt of the sin of killing Saul on your hands. I'll take care of it for you." David said, "No, but you pick up the javelin, you pick up the cruse of water, and we'll go our way." And so once again, he spared Saul's life. Once again, he hollered to Saul when he was a ways off and there was a separation between them, and told him what took place. And once again, the second time that he'd been placed in David's hands, David let him live. After that, Saul didn't seek after David anymore to kill him, because he knew that two times God had placed Saul in David's hands. Two times David had been a righteous man and allowed him to live. Two times he had just taken things to show to him how close he was. Two times he allowed him still to walk and to breathe and be king over Israel. God had a plan for David. David wasn't filled with jealousy at this time. But we see David had his problems. We know that we're all subject to have problems in our life. But if we are the sanctuary and God inhabits us more than we allow Satan in, then we're going to walk after God. We're not going to have place to be filled with jealousy. We're not going to have place to be filled with envy. We're not going to have place to be filled with strife. I know sometimes it's easy to allow our emotions to rule our life. But it's much more pleasant to allow God to rule our life. And don't let the jealousy and envy come into play. Work for God. If God gives you something to do and you don't do it, don't get jealous of someone that does. Don't get angry and upset because they were obedient to God and you weren't. Just be obedient to God. And you can have the blessings of God in your life. Be obedient to God and you can lay up treasures in heaven that you can lay back at His feet, where moth and dust don't corrupt it. But we have to be true to God, to be that living sanctuary. This is the temple of God. This is a church that we meet together. And together we make the temple. Together we make the church. This is a building set aside for the worship. But this is the worshipers, God's people. And we should worship and praise Him today, not be jealous of one another, not allow things come in our lives that cause a separation, but bring God in that brings a binding, that brings a healing, that brings a togetherness that only God can give us. Satan is seeking to destroy us. Satan is seeking to separate us because alone we're more vulnerable than we are together. We have strength in numbers when it comes to fighting Satan. Because if you pray for me and I pray for you, and I've got your back and you've got mine, and we're standing side by side, there's not much room for Satan to get in there if we don't allow him to. But stand shoulder to shoulder, back to back, worshiping God, praising Him, putting Him first, to be filled with His Spirit. That's something we need today that we're afraid of, being filled with His Spirit. Well, He might move me. It might be good. It might be like my shoulder gets sometimes. It takes moving it to get it back where it needs to go. It gets sore and it gets stiff if I don't move it. And we get sore and stiff if we're Christians and we don't let God's Spirit move us. We get stove up. We need to get loosened up for God. We need to let Him rule our life and rule it well. As we get a song ready, as we stand to our feet today. As the song's playing, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Friend, you can only be prepared to be a sanctuary if you're saved. If the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, you are prepared to be a sanctuary. And God's touch on your life will clean out the cobwebs and the dirt. He'll clean out the bad habits. He'll clean out the bad language. He'll clean out whatever needs to be taken away from you to make you that sanctuary. I'm not talking about putting in stained glass windows to your soul. I'm talking about cleaning you from head to toe. That you become a new creature in Christ. That Christ can indwell your spirit and indwell your body. He died for you on the cross of Calvary, that you could be that sanctuary, that you could have salvation. David was a man who had integrity, had respect for his leader, even though the leader wasn't always doing exactly what God would have him do. He was still God's anointed and God's appointed king. David had to wait his turn. But through that, God used David to be a great man that we still read about today. To be a man after God's own heart. And friend, I pray this morning that God's dealing with your heart. Just as David's heart smote inside of him because of what he'd done to Saul and cutting off the skirt of his robe, I pray your heart this morning is beating hard inside your chest. That God is convicting you and showing you that He loves you and that you need to be saved, that you need to be born again. Just surrender to Him. Would you be one here? You might lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me. I know I need to be saved. Preacher, pray for me. I'll be glad to pray for you. You just have to let me know that you realize it, that you're lost." Would you just lift that hand up? Lift it up where I can see it. I'll be glad to pray for you. Preacher, I've had some jealousy and some envy in my life before. And it tries to show itself up every once in a while. I want you to help me pray that I won't allow it to rule my life. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be envious. I don't want strife. I just want to be a living sanctuary. I want God to help me that my temple will be clean and that those things won't come in my presence to hinder my service to God. Would you just lift your hand? Say, "Preacher, help me pray. Help me pray." Maybe I've not mentioned what your need is this morning. Only you and God needs to know about it. If you just lift your hand up, I'll help you pray. Whatever it might be, would you just raise your hand? Maybe you just want to come to the altar. Maybe you don't want to signify any other way. Maybe you just want to come and bow. The altar's open. Please step out and come. Talk to God. whatever it might be. Some are coming, please. God's dealing with your heart. Just bring it to Him. Just bring it to Him. Just bring it to Him. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and hearts before You this day, we thank You for allowing us once again to be in Your house. There's just something missing when we're not able to gather with Your people. And dear God, how much stronger we can be united together through the Spirit of God. We thank You for that bond that surpasses all understanding, how You can bind us together as Your people. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd help us to always be Your children, to always follow after You and to follow Your example, that we don't allow things to come into our path as such as envy and strife and jealousy, dear Heavenly Father, bitterness, that You take that away from us, dear God, and that we surrender it to You, that we don't live that way. Help us to be a sanctuary unto You, dear God, that You would clean us out, dear Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit would only be what can indwell this sanctuary, that we don't allow Satan room, dear Heavenly Father, to establish a foothold in our lives. We know that he's going to attack us. We know that he's going to be there ever present, dear God, trying to cause us problems, trying to bring us down, trying to cause us not to serve You. But dear God, we pray that You just help us to realize when our enemy attacks, dear God, strengthen our defenses through knowing Your word, and give us Your strength, dear God, through Your Holy Spirit, to be able to stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of David. Dear Heavenly Father, as he had opportunities, dear God, that could have taken Saul's life, but he didn't. God, that he allowed him to live. Lord, help us with those, dear Heavenly Father, that need life, dear God, to share with them, dear Heavenly Father, the story of Jesus, that they may live. Go with us now, lead us and guide us, dear Heavenly Father, we pray. Answer these prayers according to Thy will, dear Heavenly Father, that we submit to You, dear God, as Your humble servant, and realize that it must be Your will done, not ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.